I'm sort of having a comedy of technological errors this morning, and every Zoom just completely disappeared from the screen a second ago. So I was like, had no idea where you went. But that technological error continues in that I tried to update my computer, which was glitchy this morning. And I think because so many people are trying to use the internet, what was usually a 20-minute experience is still not updated. And that is where my sermon is. So that is where we find ourselves today. So I'm going to do my best here from my memory of what I spent hours and hours working on this week to preach today from this. So let's pray especially hard together. Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable to you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So when Chris asked me what I was, worship leaders always talk at the beginning of the week with the preacher. And Chris asked me, what are you thinking about this week? And as I read the story, I kept thinking about Martha. Martha in the story, who reveals something, I think, that is something that really has always been so important to me about our faith. And that is this permission to be angry at God. This is a long thread in the Bible. We hear it in the Psalms, where over and over again, we hear things like, my God, why have you forsaken me? Or, my enemies trample over me. Where are you, God? And there's this mystery to this, because the Bible sort of wants to evade these questions, or doesn't clearly answer these questions about what does God actually have to do with suffering in our world? It's pretty clear that God hasn't just wound up the clock on earth and let it go and sort of watches, as Bette Midler used to say, from a distance. It is not that God is somehow picking up people and stopping someone's sorrow if they do the right thing, or hurting someone else if they do the wrong thing. And yet we have this belief that somehow God is deeply involved in our world, and that the place to bring our frustration and our disappointment about the world is to God. And I think that we hear this reflected back in the story about Lazarus. Actually see in the story three different times that the same question is raised. Three different times this question is given voice to. Lord, if you had not been here, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. Martha says it first, and then Mary says it again. And then right before they open the tomb of Lazarus, it's said a third time. It's as if the gospel wants to sort of, no one's hiding this question, right? Like, no one's saying they're saying what we're all thinking, like, Jesus, you've done all these miracles. What's going on? And it's interesting to see what responses we get and what responses we don't. Rowan Williams, once said that, there is no sort of explanation that can be given that would make sense of your pain and your suffering. If someone who's been hurt, has been traumatized, says, explain to me why this happened, and you sat down and said, here's a philosophical treatise of the world, and here are all the pieces about the universe that fit together and how your suffering becomes a part of that, even that would not be a sufficient enough explanation for your suffering or your pain. And that's because suffering is a nothing. It's an unreason. It is a nonsense. It's not something that is supposed to fit into the order of a good creation. It is not something that we can ever make sense of. There is no explanation that will ever be enough to make sense of what you're experiencing. And so Jesus doesn't attempt to give Martha and Mary a philosophical answer. He doesn't put them in their place and say, how dare you ask me these questions? Who do you think I am? He doesn't try to placate them with false hope or to tell them that everything's going to be fine. He doesn't look at them and say, well, here's some lessons that you can learn, and here's how you become a better person through your suffering. Instead, Jesus weeps. That's the answer to this question from Mary and Martha and from the Judeans. Jesus wept. This is the only time in the Gospels that Jesus will weep. This is the only time that this word for weeping is used. It isn't a ritualized weeping. It isn't the sort of sitting Shiva that may be happening in Jewish traditions at this time. This is a spontaneous, overwhelming emotional response to the death of his friend. I love this next verse. So the Judean said, "See how he loved him." And I think there's some truth in that, that the answer that we have to suffering is love. The answer to suffering is that we have a God who continues to walk towards the suffering of others. And there's plenty of times in John and the rest of the Gospels where Jesus heals from afar. He doesn't need to draw near to Lazarus. There's no reason for him to be there. Unless it is that the entire trajectory of Jesus' life is walking towards and sharing in the pain and suffering of others, because that's what it means to be human, is to bear the grief of this world with others. He comes and draws near to be near his friends, to be near to Mary and Martha during their time of suffering. He comes near because he needs to grieve the loss of this one that he loved. I was reading this story this week, and I thought about all of the people who are continuing to draw near in love during this crisis that we're in. And to me, it's the only thing that is a response to suffering. That medical workers continue to draw near to hospitals, even though they are under-equipped and often feel vulnerable to disease themselves. We know that teachers are continuing to work out of their homes to do their best to continue to educate students. We know that there are people who work in homeless shelters and food banks, despite risks themselves. And below all of that is love. That we are willing to draw near to other people's suffering, to put ourselves beside other people's suffering, and to say, this is what we have and this is who we are. And I think as we're continuing to walk this path together, it doesn't look like things are going to get better for us anytime soon. Learning from Jesus in the story, can't make you promises about things being all right, how it's all going to work out in the end. But what I can promise you is that there will be people here who have learned from Jesus to walk towards suffering, and who will walk towards it with you, and that we together can walk towards the suffering of our community and our world. And when it comes down to it, our weeping becomes a protest. It's a reminder. It's a putting out into the world that the way things are is not the way things ought to be. And that the dis-ease and disorder of the world is felt in our bodies. And when we do that together, it opens up paths for new worlds for us. A new world that's being built among our community. And so while I can't, I don't know what our future holds, but I do know this. The God who was born into the body of Jesus and walked towards death for us is present now among us, and we share together in his life and in his suffering as he shared ours. Amen.